Blog Talk Radio.
You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there.
Saturday, you're listening to Bad Company with Gray Eyes Smith, and this show is a production of Late Night Poets, a poetry group on allpoetry.com, the largest free website in the world, and we have anthologies available on amazon.com filled with poetry from poets around the world, so feel free to check those out and help support these shows. And tonight's show is brought to you by a contest that Do You Wild Dove and myself ran. And it's a quote by Rumi, and it goes, "Try not to resist changes that come your way. Instead, let life live through you. And do not worry that your life is turning upside down. How do you know that the side you are used to is better than the one to come?" End quote. So that's the gist of tonight's show, as well as some open poetry. So glad to have you listening, and I'm going to get to posting the contents, I mean, pieces into the group. Oh, checking the studio, we have a caller. Hello, 715, is that you, Pam?
It is me. Hey, Gray, good to hear you.
Thank you. Good to have you here. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And the wonderful prompt that Lou chose. And, you know, it should be a really great night of poetry.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And so, yeah, I'm going to post this into the group. Oops. Okay, here we go. And if you wouldn't mind, Pam, giving that a read?
Sure, I'd be happy with that. I'm just going to finish up three words in my message in Late Night Poets, and then here we go. This is Live, Love, and Laugh by Attica Rand, and it goes like this. Your life is your own life. Enjoy the life and live happy. There may be lots of challenges come to your life journey. No need to resist these changes. Enjoy the flow as they come and go. Today may be the best day for one, but tomorrow may be even better. Always wish for the best to come. Life is to enjoy. Challenges will come and go. Nothing to worry about these challenges. Always look forward with positivity. Things get better each day. It is told to me that by the elders, live your life, love your life. Laugh when you can to remove the worry. And my motto in life is live, love, and laugh. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And that was an excellent write as well. You know, I thought he caught the prompt fairly, really well in this, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. What did you think, Pam?
I really enjoyed the positive energy in this. I like how they mention being taught wisdom by the elders, and that there is a sense of realism within the rite, because they don't say that worries and troubles will never come, but that, you know, you will make it past them, and there's no point in that, you know, always, there's no point in worrying about troubles that haven't happened yet. You know, just really a nice positive message all the way through. So very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Wonderful read as well. Okay, let me look up the next poll here.
I think you might have somebody else.
Okay, thank you.
Yep,
you. Thank you. Hello, area code 419. Who's calling, please? Hello, area code 419. Sorry?
It's your friend Kel.
Oh, hi, Kel. How are you?
I'm good, Gray. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Glad to have you with us.
It's good to make it on time for a change.
All right. Okay, Kel, would you mind reading the next one for me, please?
Sure. On this pale blue stage by M.J. Donnelly. There is a still small voice fluttering with Tibetan prayer flags in thin air, mingling with sage incense over worshipers on humble lips, whispering novenas. Others speak to something in their own way. Seasons bow, paying homage to that which simply is, the stirring which sustains, the birth, rebirth, microcosms of communities, the reality of life and death, all wait with bated breath, faithful that the cycle will begin again. Life's equation is all lies within the heart. Hope caresses with motherly concern, to which the years sigh, and the evening winds speak in tongues amongst the murmuring trees, saying, breathe. The sun will rise, birds will sing, and tomorrow waits for an answer. End poem.
That was a wonderful read, and such a powerful write. You know, you can feel all the emotions and power in this, right? Especially where it says, life's equation is all lies within heart. Hope caresses the motherly concern, to which the years sigh, and evening winds speak in tongue amongst the murmuring trees, saying, breathe, the sun will rise, birds will sing, and tomorrow waits for an answer. That's just so beautiful. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. I really like how this talks about that connection between life and death, birth, rebirth, microcosms, and communities. There's a connection between everything. And I like how there's a spiritual beauty to this rite that reminds us that prayer can be found in many forms. You know, the flags flying in thin air, mingling with the sage incense. And I really like the line, the murmuring trees saying, breathe, the sun will rise. Just absolutely beautiful and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And Kel, what did you think?
Oh, I agree totally with Pam and yourself. I really like the verse about the trees and breathe. You know, just breathe, let things go. It's just such a powerful sentiment. I think this poem was full of a spiritual hope and of renewal and positive and just absolutely a beautiful, powerful write.
Well said. Thank you, Kel. Okay, I have the next poem up. It's called Light the Dark Alley in Swahili. Sometime one fall into bad company, blinded with their style, not realizing the outcome of true meaning, fallen into a deep volcano, very hard to come out, forcing into something which was not expected, scared to ask for outside help, scared of the society, family, friends, and loved ones, pushed your legs so hard, and vowed you will not let that happen, but will change the person from inside itself, from bad to good. If there is a will, there is always a way to make a better person from turning evil. So run away from evil because it's not good, but you can change his faith into a better person. End poem. Well, that was a hard-hitting and powerful poem. You know, sometimes we fall into bad company and we're blinded by the style, not realizing the outcome of the true meaning of falling into a deep volcano. It's very hard to come out. You know, when you fall into the abyss of bad company and, you know, they become an evil, that's what you want to fight against. And I thought she captured that very well in this. What did you think, Pam?
I think, Grace, she looked into your eyes and fell into your bad company abyss. So that's what I think.
No, I actually thought this was a really good write in the whole message. And I like the whole metaphor of falling into a volcano, you know, because it's that whole idea that once you take that giant leap into somewhere that you don't want to be, whether it's around the type of people you don't want to be like, or the type of perhaps falling into an addiction, it's really difficult to get out. And I like how she really, like, it's hard. I have to agree, it's hard-hitting, it's dark, it's a bit edgy. But what I like is a positive message at the end where, you know, you struggle through life and, you know, in the end, you know, you can make yourself a better person. It doesn't mean you'll be a perfect person, but you'll be, because no one is, but you'll be a better person. So just an excellent write and very well done.
That was a great comment, Pam. Thank you for sharing that. And Kel, what did you think?
I also had the idea of falling into, like, addiction, you know, like the volcano. It's very hard to come out, but I also like the end where, you know, you can run away from evil because he is not good, but you can change his state into a better person. And sometimes you can, if you try hard enough and you have enough, the right support system, you can pull yourself away from things that are hurting you and that are causing you to hurt others, or whatever it is, whatever your volcano is, there's always a system to help you get out of it. You know, we can always pray that there is, anyway. Because for some people, I know that's not always possible, but it's a sad fact. But this is a very beautiful, hard-hitting poem. I really, really liked it.
That was a fantastic comment. Thank you, Kel. Okay, Pam, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. All right, this
Thank
is
you.
Stormy Skies Always Bring a Fresh New Day by In Walked Bud. And it goes like this.
Lightning cracked across the horizon as rumbling thunder drummed a steady roll through the dry and gritty landscape. Gray skies opened wide and raindrops fell like cut diamonds from the heavy, swollen clouds overhead. Steady downpours pummeled the sand with small craters that quickly turned to rushing rivers tearing through the rocks and drifting dunes. Frightening creatures scurried to higher ground to escape death from the roaring flood. But the baked earth breathed a heavy sigh beneath the cleansing showers that soon disappeared like a mirage beneath the scorching sun. Organ pipes and saguaros swelled fat with water, quenched the thirst of migrating birds and bats in a cool, misty moonlight. Soon bursts of bloom sprang up from cracks and crevices in colorful floral blankets, while orchestras of insects sang songs among the sage. Desert life awakened with the rising sun of a fresh new day. End poem.
Well, it was a beautiful read, Pam. And this is a touching poem. You can see all this as we go through her storyline, this rainstorm in the desert, bringing life and healing to the land and to the occupants of that land, even though it's terrifying to go through at the point that they're trying to escape. But I thought it was a beautiful poem, wonderful naturalistic take on the quotes as well. What did you think, Kel?
Oh, I thought it was simply gorgeous. I love the idea of the rain refreshing the earth, you know, but the baked earth breathed a heavy sigh beneath the cleansing showers that soon disappeared like a mirage beneath the scorching sun. Wow. Yeah, it's just a beautiful, beautiful rite of how, you know, the rain can change the desert from being thirsty land to awakening with the rising sun. It's just really beautiful sentiment.
Great comment, Kel. Thank you. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, I thought this had absolutely beautiful imagery. You know, I've only been to a desert area, like in Arizona, like once in my life. And I just, you know, it's not an area I'd want to live in, but you can't help but think there's so much, it's fascinating the way the life and the plants have adapted to live there. And what I particularly like about this piece is not only the beautiful imagery, but the fact that she has the storm, the rain coming, and at first it seemed very ominous, very dangerous, like everything's going to be destroyed. But then you realize quickly there's kind of this balance created. And it is part of what, you know, to create the life and help the life grow within the desert. So just an excellent light and very well done.
That was a beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to grab the next poem here. Whenever you see it, Kel.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. 1 second. There we go. There we go. Whenever you're ready, Kel.
Right, got it. Adapt by Jenna Forlorn. And if is so much easier when adaptation is the norm. When your foundation's already been cracked through, you pour anew and are reborn. You learn there's no hope in quicksand without a hand offering relief. And those who kick and struggle will drown in what they've preconceived. With bootstraps and hands, calloused from a tight gravity, one learns what's right to cling to in a new reality. You learn broken bones and bruises hurt, but they heal with greater strength. And those who have the deepest wounds will fight and go to any length when all the world's imploding. Sickly and exploding. Well, they're strong enough to be an outstretched hand that's holding out a lifeline when disaster is unfolding. And poem.
Beautiful read, Kel. And this was a powerful poem as well, with its intent of, you know, surviving that quicksand with the helping hand. And, you know, the seemingly the ones that are the most hurt have the most strength and power inside. So that's what I got out of it. What did you think, Cam?
Yeah, wow. I think this is going to be an amazing night of poetry, because now this one is particularly emotive to me. And I really like, you learn there's no hope in quicksand without a hand offering relief, and those who kick and struggle will drown in what they preconceived. I thought those were really strong lines. And I like how she did repeat the thought of you learn, because a lot of times coming up against hardship and disaster and, you know, even our own mistakes are opportunities for us to learn. So just excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Kel, what did you think?
Well, I think that it's a poem of strength earned and learned, you know, through what life has thrown at us, our broken bones and bruises and anything else that may have been thrown at us that caused us to have to heal, and it makes us stronger, you know, because if you don't get stronger, you're just going to give up, and if you give up, that isn't going to be the way to go, you know, definitely. And it's the end, and they're strong enough to be an outstretched hand that's holding out a lifeline when disaster is unfolding. You know, that's just really powerful, very powerful writing, and I quite enjoyed it.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Kel. And I've got the next write-up here. It is by Rhonda Isori, and it's called A Battle with Fear. We all battle with fear. No one gets a free pass when it comes to fear, that paralyzing state hindering you from moving forward, or that constant worry running over and over in your mind. My deepest fear is not believing in myself, to realize I've lived life, my life, not doing what makes me happy, to regret all that I didn't achieve, being unable to realize the dream I've worked towards, to miss out on my promise, my purpose here on earth, because I wasn't motivated enough to pursue dreams or distracted with life in general. I know I have a purpose that I'm not yet serving. I am scared I made the wrong decisions in life. If I made the wrong choices, it would set me back to my true path. I dread to look back and see the fear. That fear guided my decisions. End poem. Well, that was haunting in its retrospective nature. You know, when you're afraid that you missed that path that you were meant to be on, and now you're completely lost as you go into the final stages of your life. You know, I say it's never too late to change your direction and make your way back to that path, that's for sure. What did you think, Pam?
Well, first of all, I think that was well said there, Gray. I have to agree with you. It's never too late to find your way back. But I like how raw and honest she is with her expression and of her fear, and how she's so worried about the decisions she made. To me, this even comes across not just about fear, but really about anxiety. It very much reads to me like a write about anxiety. And I like this all the way through, but I really like my deepest fear is not believing in myself. I think that line in itself could easily be a contest prompt, so very well done.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you, Pam. And Kel, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was a very emotive and dark write. You know, fear holding her back. You know, and like Pam says, anxiety. You know, if you don't believe in yourself, then, you know, it makes it a lot harder to achieve whatever it is that you want to do. And then looking back at all the regrets and with the worry about making the wrong decisions and everything, that doesn't help. And sometimes if you miss your path, sometimes you might have to change it and, you know, make a different decision that's going to work better for you. You know, something that isn't going to be so frightening, but it's still going to give you the same satisfaction as what you were going to do previously. You know, it doesn't always hurt to change your path or, you know, make different decisions. Sometimes you have to just be able to continue. You know, but it's a very well done, but very sad and poignant as well.
That was a great comment, Cal. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next write-up, Pam. If you wouldn't mind, please.
All right. Up next, we have... Oh, I believe you have somebody... To bring on.
Hello, folks.
Hello. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, Thomas.
Good to see you.
Glad to have you here. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. This is Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow by Myrtle 70, and it goes like this. Remembering them creates nothing but sorrow. Misfortune and failures are not there to borrow. Hope is a spark that lights the darkness. Despair not. Today is pregnant to tomorrow. End poem.
I loved it. That was a wonderful little brevity. A fantastic read as well, Pam. But, you know, there's a powerful statement in these few lines of not giving up hope and, you know, that misfortune and failures are not here to borrow. I thought it was epic in its short, brevity nature, and as well getting a message across. What did you think, Kim?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is what I really liked about this brevity is Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow sounds like a poem, a title for a long poem, because that encompasses a lot of time. But he managed to capture the essence of them all within four lines. And it's great all the way through, but my two favorite lines are, misfortune, failure are not there to borrow, and despair not, today is pregnant to tomorrow. You know, I like the whole idea that we don't need to take up problems that haven't been handed to us. So excellent brevity and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Kel, what did you think?
Well, for one thing, it always gets me when I'm commenting on a brevity or a haiku or a senru, whatever, that the comments are always longer than the poem.
Yeah.
But in this case, it would be very well deserved. I like the one that Pam read, but I also like the hope is the spark that lights the darkness, because it is. You know, without that light, oh, golly, you know, we would all be lost. You know, and this is an absolutely gorgeous little write, and I really, really loved it.
A great comment. Thank you, Cal. And Thomas, what did you think?
Oh, I was really impressed. I thought he, as already been said, he handled a large topic with a great, sharp, insightful, brief piece. Takes a lot of skill to move us through a really incredibly deep system of thoughts like that with just light, sharp phrases. I mean, remembering them creates nothing but sorrow. You know, it takes care of yesterday and today. Misfortune and failures are not there to borrow. And then the rest of it is just a way of getting us to let go of the past and move into the present and be ready for what comes in the future. And that, to do that in four lines, is just an incredible level of talent. That's really great. I like this.
Well said. Thank you, Thomas. I appreciate it. Okay, Kel, I have the next write-up if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Change, an Open Secret by Blue Wright 76. Why does change have to be a storm when change be the only norm? A pendulum's undaunted sway, flowers bloom and fade away. Mountains move and be gone into horizons, universe and array of evolutional ions. Men just passed away yonder unknown, the cycle of unknown change, the only known. Why is it so tough to embrace a change? Fear of the future leaves a derange. Imminent change in life's weather bothers, drags me akin, an unwilling pet in chains. Why do we cling to the January when we tripped already into a February? However strong the perturbed mind resists, every change unaware within me sprouts new waters of success for the brave. Let change itself be the reward we crave. Hold on to change in an embrace, with faith in nature's promising grace. You are the change that you yearn, open secrets the time and space spun. Hang on to its timeless rope, and go for it with tireless hope. And poem.
That was a beautiful read, Kel. And, you know, this was a deep poem as well. I really liked it as well. You know, it hits to the heart of grabbing that change by the horns and, you know, like that quote of grabbing the bull by the horns. You just got to hang on and ride with it. You know, I really thought it was beautifully done. And what did you think, Pam?
Yeah, these are beautiful rhyming couplets. I like how thought-provoking this rite is and how it reminds us that change is going to happen and time is going to pass. And, you know, it kind of has that idea to me of just, you know, embracing and accepting. So, wonderful rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Thomas, what did you think?
I thought you did. Opened it really nicely. Why does change have to be a storm when change be the only norm? And he's right. The norm is change, and we live in situations where nothing's going to be stable forever. And I thought he captured that really nicely, and came back with, you know, new waters of success for the brave. Let change be the reward we crave. Impressive use of rhyme in this. But I thought he did a great job of, you know, going, you know, see it as an opportunity. Don't see it as something as a threat, you know, and take it on. And great advice, a definite level of wisdom in this, and a sharp way of saying it. Very well done.
Great comment, Thomas. Thank you. I appreciate this, that. And Kel, what did you think?
I thought it was a very deeply spiritual rite, you know, using the weather and nature to make a point. It was very beautifully done. I really liked Hold On to Change in an Embrace with Faith in Nature's Promising Grace. That's a very eloquent, philosophical viewpoint on change and how it can sustain us. You know, it's beautiful.
Well said. Thank you, Kel. I appreciate that. Okay, Thomas, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, be happy to. Let me get over here. Okay. Rites of Passage by Robert J. Taft. I hope I got that right. As openly whole oceans flow, and willingly the wind will blow, let life deliver, give, and drift around the mountain, through the rift, beneath, beside, before, behind, above the hurdles of the mind, between the silence of two words, and soar across your thoughts like birds whose wings embrace the gifts of flight, and with it distance, height, and sight, to seek the freedom, find a way beyond denial or delay, with where everything commences so as openly whole oceans flow.
Great read, Thomas. It's a wonderful read.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a fantastic read. And, you know, I like the power of his poem as well. You know, it's got such a natural type feel to it. It just flows with, like, water caressing, you know, the face of the earth. And I thought it was just beautifully expressed, you know, whose wings embrace between the silence of two words and soar across your thoughts like birds, whose wings embrace the gift of flight, and with it distance, height, and sight, to seek the freedom, find a way beyond denial or delay, where everything commences, so as openly whole oceans flow. I really like the oceans flow theme. Just beautiful, beautiful, right? What did you think, Nell?
Yeah, I really appreciated the use of the ocean imagery and the imagery of the soaring birds within this rite. And I like the message of, you know, that the whole idea of finding your freedom has to be about letting go of denial and delay. I really like the line, beneath, beside, before, behind, above the hurdles of the mind. That flowed really nicely. It had great alliteration. And it reminds us that oftentimes the hurdles are what's in our mind. And so just a great write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And what did you think, Kel?
Oh, my goodness. I love this. I love the positivity in it. And it's just absolutely gorgeous writing. As openly whole oceans flow, and willingly the winds will blow. And then the end, where everything commences so, as openly whole oceans flow. It's just, you know, this is really beautiful beginning and ending to this poem. I love the message of flight, you know, giving us freedom to find our way, you know, and it's just a very beautiful rite.
Beautiful comment as well. Thank you, Kel. We appreciate that. And I'm going to grab the next poem here. And this is by Martha Gettle, and she has a SoundCloud. So I'll post this and play the SoundCloud. Here we go.
It Hasn't Always Been Easy by Martha Gettle. Climbing life's ladder one rung at a time. The next step is always there on my mind. So many possibilities right in front of me. Thinking of all the things life could be. I woke up each day staring at the ceiling. Sometimes all I had was just a numb feeling. Although I tried so very hard, I always had to be on my guard. But those days are long gone, and now I'm just moving on. The hard times have passed me by. It isn't easy, but I learned to fly. The top of the ladder there I see. It's always there waiting for me. In my hand I'll hold it soon, like capturing the moon. But those days are long gone, moving on. The hard times have passed me by. It isn't easy, but I learned to fly. Life has never been easy for me. So much of life is mystery. But I keep going on and looking up like a racer watching a winner's cup.
That was a beautiful sing song. I liked it a lot. And I liked her story, you know, her theme throughout this, and that's growing wings and getting past the problems, learning to fly, capturing the moon. You know, the hard times have passed me by. It isn't easy, but I've learned to fly. Life has never been easy for me. So much of life is mystery. But I keep going on and looking up like a racer watching a winner's cup. Just beautiful imagery and fantastic emotions written within this poem. What did you think, Pam?
I enjoyed hearing Martha sing. She's got a good voice for those kind of country western type songs. And she's a wonderful lyricist. I really like how she starts out, climb life's ladder one rung at a time, the next step is always on my mind. And the chorus is really nice. And I also like the top of the ladder there, I see it is always there waiting for me. In my hand, I'll hold it to him like capturing the moon. I like the whole that stanza there, that part of the song talks about going towards a goal. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Kel, what did you think?
I loved it. Oh, really? I loved her singing. I loved the message. The tune is just beautiful. Everything hasn't been easy, but she's managed to move on. That's just awesome. It's beautiful.
Great comment. Thank you, Kel. And Thomas, what did you think of Martha's SoundCloud?
I thought it was really nice. Put together piece because from the opening with the discussion of how many possibilities and having to, you know, overcome her own negativity and what was coming at her from the world around, but at the same time, this great sense of positive hope for the chance. You know, it isn't easy, but I learned to fly. I thought it was a great finishing line on the chorus. That's just a really nice lift you up and give you a better sense of where to go on a any given day type of song. Enjoyed it.
Great comment. Thank you, Thomas. Okay, so we have the poem by Fountain Pen up here, and I'll give this a read. It's called By Miracle, the Sun Resuscitates. By miracle, the sun resuscitates in time, the mornings and incongruities, an air of bright hues, confident it states it is a warmth, it spreads and demonstrates. It works like magic over dew and plain. The glitter illuminates both land and sea, draws filigree gold on my window pane, more masterpieces for me to foresee. And still among dark yonder fades away by evening charm, begetting lunar grace. And stars would kindle light that they display, if only heart knows their reflection's place, that when my laying in the night is peace, delights no more about the sun's increase. That was beautifully written. I thought it was a stunning poem about, you know, the sun and its miracle as it resuscitates itself every day and brings new hope and meaning into our lives each day. So I thought that was beautifully done. And what did you think, Pam?
I'm sorry. I wasn't quite caught up enough. Could you call on me either second or last?
Sure. Kel, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was gorgeous. The miracle of the sun, yeah. And then also, and still among dark yonder, fades away by evening's charm, begetting lunar grace. and stars would kindle light that they just, if only heart knows their reflections place. I mean, it's just got beauty in this, in the morning sun, but also there's beauty in the evening, in the moon and the stars. So it's just, you know, gorgeous all the way around.
Excellent comment, Cal. Thank you. And Thomas, what did you think?
A delightful sonnet. By miracle, the sun resuscitates in time the morning and inaugurates. I like the, you know, the way he set up the rhymes and how he really built on how beautiful it is when the day awakens and the sun begins. And then how ready we are for the evening when it shows up. It just moves through the changes really smoothly and sweetly and gives off really positive air. Makes it really nice to hear in peace.
Great comment. Thank you, Thomas. And I'd like to welcome Frank to the show. Hello, Frank.
Hello there, my friend. It's good to be on again.
How are you? Thank you.
I'm doing all right. I'll be on as long as I can, Greg.
That's okay. I appreciate it, Frank. Did you get a chance to hear that last poem?
Yes, I was able to hear the poem. I thought it was a splendid sonnet there. I really like the personification of the sun there, the aspects of, you know, just the whole nature of what it encompasses. It's a beautiful ride there, and I like the way those last two lines ended there. If that's when my laying in the night is peace, delights no more about the sun's increase. You know, if you go beyond the structure of the sonnet, which has its rhyming scheme, there's a beauty here about that embodiment of the sun, I thought was splendid.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. And Pam, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, my goodness. I really like how this pays tribute to both the day and the night. It flows absolutely beautifully, a wonderfully written sonnet. And, you know, it just, to me, I like the homage, the idea that there is beauty and magic in both times of the day. So excellent light and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. Would you mind reading next round, please?
I would be happy to do that. Let me just get back to where I need to be. And this is I Wish by Writer C, and it goes like this. I wish the nation was secure on the 11th of September. I wish I didn't have these memories to remember. I wish Sammy came back from the war. I wish the soldiers left when his mother didn't answer the door. I wish our children were protected in school like our money and gold. I wish there was a law to retire at 50 years old. I wish everyone was peaceful and had a home. I wish you didn't need a passport to visit Brazil or Rome. I wish Holmes never fought Ali, even though he floated like a butterfly, he no longer stung like a bee. I wish Biggie and Pac declared peace, and the only competition was when their records were released. I wish Prince didn't need pills for his pain. I wish he grew old singing Purple Rain. I wish some fairy tales were real and the addicts didn't need needles or pills. I wish my dreams came true and home.
Thank you, Pam. That was a beautiful read. And, you know, this is a touching read about his personal wishes on how he wished the world would go around him. I wish Biggie and Pac declared peace. And you won the competition was when their records were released. You know, I just watched a movie yesterday on that whole storyline, so that was kind of a hard-hitting answer there for me. Just a deep, deep situation that was. But, you know, I wish some fairy tales were real and the addicts didn't need needles or pills. I wish my dreams came true. Just a beautiful write. And what did you think, Kel?
This gave me goosebumps. So beautiful. Oh, my God, so beautiful. You know, everything that we could possibly wish for, and then some. You know, personal wishes, as well as wishes for, you know, peace for the world and, you know, fairy tales and addicts. And it was absolutely fantastic all the way through. I said it gave me goosebumps. It was just a pure delight to read.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you. And Thomas, what did you think?
I thought it was both a nice set of wishes and a nice reflection on the way things that have gone down. It would be nice if we found a way to change things. And even if those events happened, could make it better so that when similar things came up, they had a different way to be responded to or to occur. Because his wishes, as he said, I wish some fairy tales were true and addicts didn't need needles or pills. I wish my dreams came true. And I like the way he does that. I like the way he talks about his dreams because he recognizes that time changes things and that we have a chance of really changing the world if we just stop and reflect it, how we'd like to make it better. I thought there was a lot of hope in this piece.
Great comment. Thank you, Thomas. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I thought this film really had touched on a lot of really deep issues here that really were very much relevant. I do make a distinction between wish and want. And I like the whole notion there of wish as being something that just captivates one, as being something that we all want, not in the sense that we want, that we desire, but something that that we aspire to. And a want, something we want, tends to be something that we need, you know, something that needs to be, you know, that we pose, you know. And I thought the soap poem really, you know, really did touch on a lot of the humanistic point of view as well of how we could be a better society and a better world, you know. And he does make, you know, the world itself could, you know, could be so simple, simplistic, if we ourselves were simplistic in nature, you know. There is, you know, the whole notion of that we could travel, you know, without a passport. That would be awesome, you know. We could just, you know, what he offers here and other things that he throws in here, analogies as well. Or if Prince could live to be, you know, forever immortal. Or we could live without, you know, medicine and pills and be just completely perfect in the sense of, you know, woundless. But it's not reality, unfortunately, and that is the sadness about this poem here. But you know, it takes a bitter pill to swallow to realize and to accept that it's only a wish, and it, sadly enough, it doesn't go beyond the dream itself. Very few of our wishes ever materialize, you know, to a steady extent, into something of tangible reality. There are things that do, but they tend not to remain for long. So it's a very wistful poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Frank. And Pam, what did you think of the poem?
Yeah, this is just, it's heartfelt, it's profound. I like how he touches upon, as has been mentioned, personal wishes, but also wishes that, you know, touch upon the lives of of people all around. And I like how it's just really a lot of it is just wishing so hard that, you know, things like addiction and death, did, you know, that seems too early, then didn't happen. I even like how, you know, the more lighthearted stanza where he says, I wish you didn't need a passport to visit Brazil or Rome. I think it would be really nice just to be able to pick up and just, you know, as long as you have the money, just go wherever you want and explore. But great writing, very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a wonderful comment. Okay, Cal, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Fallen Spirits by Jack Tomkovic. We're fallen now, like teenagers woken too early to sleep. We run in circles, spin wheels, grind teeth, till jaws ache.
smiles snuff low, only coaxed like 2-year-olds broccoli with fries. A hazmat haze hides the sun, and fools rule the monarchs of MASH. Is that the light? I can't see, and worse, cannot breathe. End poem.
And just in his author's notes, he says, wrote this last summer during the George Floyd turmoil. Still think it zings. Yeah, I agree. It definitely zings. You know, the way he brings it off with that melancholy start and then, you know, right through to the finish of I can't see and worse, I cannot breathe. Just a haunting poem. What did you think, Sam?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is absolutely haunting. I really like the imagery of we run in circles, spin wheels, grind teeth till jaws ache, smiles do not flow, only coaxed like 2-year-olds the broccoli with fries. That was just some really clever phrasing and imagery all the way through. And I like how it's a very, a rite that has a strong social commentary. So excellent rite and very well done.
Thank you, Sam. And Thomas, what did you think?
Well, I definitely agree with Sam here. I think he's done a great job of sort of capturing the extent to which we create some of this ourselves. You know, ourselves are sullen now like teenagers looking to relief from sleep. You know, smiles don't flow, but we need to be coached like 2-year-olds. So there's a sense that, you know, we need to stop and let go of our pettiness and become more adult-like. Or otherwise we have a hazmat haze that hides the sun and fools rule like monarchs of MASH. People on alcohol, I think. But it's very sharp, very thoughtful, and really catches a whole lot of ways. And where one of the things you might want to say sometimes to people and all this stupidity is just grow up.
Well, great comment. Thank you, Tom. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, yeah, first that's a lot to ask, Thomas. It's unfortunate that we cannot learn the lessons the easy way. We learn them the hard. This poem here, I really thought, you know, knowing that, you know, what the background was this to the George Floyd turmoil, it really did reflect to me, you know, in such brief words here, it's that whole notion of what the reality, it almost seems laughable when you think about it, that we are, you know, grown individuals, you know, for the most part, and yet we seem to put our similarities aside and just dwell on our differences there. You know, it does happen to me there, you know, that we cannot really gravitate the things that we relate to each other, you know. It used to be that the neighbor was one of your best friends. Now your neighbor at times is just another stranger. So it does reflect the light not only on the George Floyd incident in the state of the nation, but as well the state of our societies and how it's gone, you know, from generation to generation, dissipating to some extent in its mannerisms and its respect.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Frank. That was a beautiful comment. And Cal, what did you think?
Well, I think Tom stole my words. I was going to say we just need to grow up. ourselves are calling now like teenagers. And then it goes on to talk about 2-year-olds. You know, it's just, yeah, you know, just, why can't they grow the hell up and, you know, everyone is different regardless of anything else or different. I'm different from you, I'm different from Steve, I'm different from anyone. You know, and, you know, my color or whatever doesn't make any difference. We're different, period. So why can't we just see the light? You know, a hazmat haze hides the sun and fools rule them like monarchs of MASH. This is such a powerful, powerful poem. And it's just really, really awesome. I love the way he wrote this.
fantastic comment, Kel. And Thomas, I have your write up whenever you're ready, please.
Okay, thank you very much. This is It Always Ends. One, I should never have opened the bottle. Such a great year, a perfect bouquet. You filled my head and heart with splendor. I drank you down quickly, feeling my pulse quicken, my world transform. You possessed me even as I consumed you. Until now, when I pour the last glass full, I look at the shape of the glass, knowing it will soon be empty. Hold it up to the light. Note how the imperfections make this glass. This glass, like no other, holds the spirits perfectly, allowing the light to shimmer, display the wine's color, providing me with visions of possibility. I know I will drink you down and you will be gone. Two, I know you will be gone. I know I will be alone and you will never forgive me. I could keep the empty bottle, the wine glass, all the detritus of memory, but I would never have you again. I look at this hand-blown glass, so strong and perfect in one direction, so fragile, so ready to break. Should I strike it on the other side or grasp it too strongly, the broken shards piercing my skin, the blood dripping like drops of wine, draining, slipping away, evaporating, never being touched by lips, rolled across the tongue. This last glass, undrunk, grows stale. I know you, and as much as I love you, I know I can't keep you forever. I lift your form to my lips, let your fires roll down my throat. Three, I always can see the end, the moment when the blurry vision of the bottom appears and I set the bottle down. One last glass, still captured, untasted. The bits of grape settling, the pure color in you transforming the light passing through. I look around the room, empty. Me, empty. My bones too sharp against my skin, hands clumsy, knuckled, palms up, empty. I wait, feeling each second being born, dying to make way for the next. I read the label on the bottle. History. Date to be memorized, immortalized. It is only a matter of time. I can't stop the sand from slipping away. I can't stop myself from pouring the last glass. God, you tasted like fire, blossoming roses. Then you are gone.
That was a beautiful read and an excellent poem. You know, the introspection is powerful, and the poem is engaging and relatable on so many levels. Just an epic poem, Tom.
Thank you.
You bet. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is amazing. And as always, Tom, your read was just performance quality. I like how this is like an extended personification of that bottle of wine or liquor or that last glass that just calls to you like temptation. And I like how rather than making it dark and, you know, something that you hate, you make it a love story, an idea of, you know, something, because a lot of times if we hate someone or really dislike someone or really dislike something, it's not difficult to let it go. But love is almost like an addiction in itself. You know, when something makes us feel good, even if it's only temporary, it's a lot harder to let go of. And so the fact that you convey this as a personification of the drink and the interaction between yourself and the drink as a romance, I thought worked really well. So just an excellent write all the way through and very well done.
Fantastic comment, Pam. Thank you. And Kel, what did you think?
Well, I almost saw it as a duality in some instances. Like, he's not so much talking about the wine and the bottle and the glass, and but as a possible romance, and, you know, but everything going wrong with it, you know, dying to make for the next. I read the label. I'm just confused. I know I will drink you down and you will be gone. And then where he's alone. It just kind of makes me think of a romance gone wrong. You know, by drinking, finishing the bottle, like possibly the addiction did more than cause problems for you morally or even physically. But the heart as well. You know, cause addiction can hurt you in so many ways. I did read Japan. I spent 6 years in 12-step programs dealing with my addictions and therapy to overcome a high anxiety disorder. You know, I really did. I saw a duality in this. You know, it's possible that, you know, the addiction also cause problems within a relationship. So it's just, you know, I don't know, I could be wrong, but it's a beautiful poem, and I really, really enjoyed the imagery of it. Gorgeous.
Great comment. Thank you, Kel. And Frank, what did you think?
Yes, I have to say, first of all, I have to say congratulations on your sobriety, if I can say. This poem really was very powerful. I could tell this in the tone of your voice there, Thomas. Your voice just really, it brought up, I'm certain it conjured just the thoughts of the memories of what you went through. You know, it had to be a little bit, it had to be rough, somewhat difficult to write this poem and rehash all of these memories here that you had to go through, this plight. What I did enjoy was the way you really put the struggle, you know, you really reflected your own battle here in this poem here. I could feel every line, you know, it had a sense of a wound as well, your own wound as well, your own wounds, I would say. I like that whole notion of how you offered yourself in this poem, using the analogy of the addiction, or in this case, the wine itself, and how you encompass that into your poem. But I really, what I enjoyed the most was what I said before. I really did appreciate the way you carry this poem, to the way you offered your own struggle, you know, your own struggles, I would say, throughout this whole poem. You gave us, you know, something, a piece of your life, which was very hard for you. I can just imagine that. And to be able to bear that through, to be able to write, be inspired by that, to share a write of this nature, is very much laudable in my book.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Hey, Frank, I have your poem up next, and it has a SoundCloud, so I'll play that.
Thank you.
In the gyroscopic whirlpool of a covert force of nature, a presence of the powerful locomotion in the uniformity of the vaporized moisture of waterlogged tears appears, saving me from the depth of a drowning quicksand. I see inside a cerulean eyes a bright radiation, like the sparkling orbs of stars beyond the satellites, hidden in constellations of hieroglyphics of mystery, the echoes of sonic waves broadcast in cryptic codes. Those magnetized eyes draw me closer to a center of gravity, and I float into deep space, into the intersection of time, hanging on to the swinging chandelier of hope and rebirth, lost in the shape of origami art in aesthetic colors. The intense reverberation of the music of xylophones awakens the jukeboxes of the eons of the universe. In the crescent moon turns to a shade of acrylic as I see a necklace of stars before the sink darkness. When I stare more into her eyes, I can see clearly beyond the yoke of the alabaster layer of deception, the dangerous dagger of a bitter regret injected into the thick filaments of silk tapestries of labyrinths. I can see all of these things through a small keyhole into the eyes without a face. Oh, I can see all of these things through a small keyhole into the eyes without a face. In the poem.
Beautiful read, Frank. Excellent read as well. You know, you have an ability to have the reader seeing through your eyes and seeing what you see, and it's just a beautiful thing. What did you think, Pam?
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Did you say Pam?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Okay. Well, first of all, amazing imagery. I even like the title, Eyes Without a Face. It seems to be so, the idea to me of so drawn into somebody's eyes that you don't notice anything else about them. I like the mention of the music, the intense reverberation of the music of xylophones awakens the jukeboxes of the eons of the universe. The idea that there's a music out there in the universe that kind of connects us all. I see inside her cerulean eyes the bright radiation like the sparkling orbs of stars beyond the satellites hidden in constellations of hieroglyphics of mystery. I thought that was wonderful use of the word cerulean for instead of just blue. And I really like the use of the phrase hieroglyphics of mystery. So just an excellent write all the way through, Frank, and very well read.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Pat.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And, Shel, what did you think?
Well, as usual, Frank's voice was mesmerizing. I don't know why, but it totally captivates. Just the idea of just looking into someone's eyes, you know, because they're considered the window to the soul, and being able to look deep and see so clearly the person that they are. Alabaster layers of deception, the dangerous dagger of her bitter regret injected into the thick filaments of silk tapestries of labyrinth. I can see all of these things through these small keyholes into the eyes without a face. Very eloquent and elegantly written. I love the images portrayed through the space and time, and it's just really beautiful, right? Very beautiful.
Thanks. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Kel. And Thomas, what did you think?
I like how you start this, the gyroscopic whirlpool, a sense of there being a dynamic energy that is moved and moves things, and that creates feelings and sensations in you, both positive and negative, saving me from the depths of a drowning quicksand. And yet, in here is this sense of betrayal. When I stare, where is that? When I stare more into her eyes, I can see clearly beyond the yoke of their alabaster layer of deception, the dangerous dagger of her bitter regret injected into the thick filaments of silk tapestries of labyrinth. That there's this feeling of, as much as you get to know her, there is so much she keeps from you, and that you're getting half-truths and bits and pieces and things that you must trace and discern. And it makes even more dramatic the I can see all these things through the small keyhole into the eyes without a face, as if you have become so caught, so mesmerized, that even as you hear the lies, you're already drowning. It's really an oppressive piece. It's very different from other things I've read of yours, because it's not so much the celebration of the woman as it is the effect of being caught in the mystery that a woman creates. Very different.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. And one quick thing. This was my attempt there as well to try to get a feed off that song, the old song that we know of Billy Idol, Eyes Without a Face. I tried to incorporate a little bit of those elements as well, the song.
Yeah, you did wonderful. Wonderful, Frank. Thank you. Okay,
welcome.
I have the next write-up. It's by Rite of Passage, and it's called Believe. In the warmth of summer's air, in the peace and the time of silent prayer, in the breath of a newborn child's sleep, there are memories we always keep. When a mother first holds her child in the strength of a Mustang running wild, in the hush of an ocean's silent depths, there are feelings in us that we'll never forget. Eagles fly and soar on lofty wings. Infants cry when their time of life begins. Seedlings grow from the fall the gentle rains. These are the things we know, but can we fully explain? In the rise of a harvest moon, in the scent of a rose in the fullest bloom, in the grace of a dancer swirling from then, our scent form, in the grace of a dancer's swirling form, then our senses make us glad we're born. In the flames of the setting sun, in the softness of night that's just begun, in the lights of life, in the lights of the soft and pinprick sky, there are times we pause to think and ponder why. Breezes blow, but yet are never seen. There's a mind that can only think a dream. Can you touch the light of falling stars? These are things we know, but can we prove they are? In the roar of a breaking wave, we are kept from the cradle to the grave. We may know in our last and final hour a loving and benevolent power and flow. That's beautiful. Such fantastic imagery woven throughout that. Just deeply surrealistic and yet naturalistic piece. Eagles fly and soar on lofty wings. Infants cry when their time of life begins. Seedlings grow from the fall of gentle rains. These are the things we know, but can't we fully explain? Yeah, there's so much mystery in life, and I thought she captured that beautifully. What a wonderful write. What did you think, Pam?
This is a beautiful and captivating write. I really like and appreciate how it's about finding and having faith, and it's a spiritual rite, but it's not about, you know, those big mysteries or those big, you know, miracles that don't have a natural explanation. It's really about appreciating the little miracles in life, you know, which I guess little is maybe not technically the right word because they're big in their own way, but, you know, just taking time to watch eagle fly, to look at the moon, to you know, think about the beauty of a child being born and the love of a mother. I mean, there's just so much in this rite that reminds us of how many blessings there are out there in the world. And I like how she put benevolent power at the end with capital letters to make it stand out. It was an excellent write all the way through and very well done.
That was a wonderful comment. Thank you, Pam. And Kel, what did you think?
In a way, I think this almost has the sense of a childlike wonder. Like, you know, there are times we pause to think and ponder why. These are things we know, but can we prove they are? You know, it's just the little questions are almost, they almost remind me of questions that a child would ask. Why? Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? But it's also, you know, in the wonder of nature and birth. It's just a very, very beautiful poem. So many aspects. When a mother first holds her child in the strength of a Mustang running wild, in the hush of an ocean's silent depths, there are feelings in us that we'll never forget. I love her, the language. I love the imagery. The poem all the way through is a beautiful act of wonder. It's gorgeous.
That was a wonderful comment. Thank you, Cal. And Thomas, what did you think?
Tom has been, he says that he's been driving most of the day and is falling asleep, so he has to get going.
Okay, thank you, Ben. Frank, what did you think?
Yes, these things here that I mentioned, well, the poem is a very beautiful writer. I just love the nature of this poem here. You know, there is a simplicity in this poem here that unfortunately we don't realize at times when we take from it. There's simplicity that life offers us, like that, in ways our surroundings, our natural surroundings, ways around us. And this is what I do enjoy. Most of these things that she talks about here, we can all enjoy to a certain extent, but we can really gravitate to the whole sense of what we already have. You know, we can sit here and think about things that we, you know, are, whether or not they materialize or where they come from, you know, and we'll always be there just arguing or doubting, you know, origins of this and that. The most important thing here in this poem here is telling us that there is the simplicities of life that we should enjoy, whether it's watching an eagle soar, whether it's childbirth, whether it's watching, feeling the grace of the warmth of the summer air, or the peace and serenity in life. You know, so much of what is written here is very much, it's there. We just have to appreciate it more.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. Beautiful comment. Okay, Pam, I've got the next right here. If you wouldn't mind, please, when you see it. Should be there now.
I'm sorry, whose name did you say?
Pam, if you could read.
Oh, absolutely. If you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and bring Salwa on first. So.
Okay, yeah, I just did.
Oh,
thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Salwa.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome.
Hi,
Sam. Jill.
Hi, Gray. Hi.
Hey, Salwa.
How are you all?
Hello.
Hi, Ken. Hi, it's Frank. I heard Frank too. Hi, Frank.
Hello there.
Hello, hello. Okay, I'm going to be quiet so you can go on. Sorry.
Thank you, Stella.
Okay.
All right. This is Become the Future by Daniel Vishino, and it goes like this. I am my past. I have to live with that every day, but I am to be my future. I will have to live with that every day. I am a lone Arctic wolf, snow-covered, buried from the storms of winter past, and I have got to stand, and I have got to stand and tremble a bit to free myself from that which holds me down. As the snow melts and the flowers bloom, and winter's wrath becomes an ancient story for those of springtime emerging, I will not let the cold, dark winters of past define me. Springtime of renewal awaits. I will become future and poem.
Beautiful read, Sam. And such a wonderful write, you know. I thought he captured the poem beautifully. And I am a lone Arctic wolf, snow-covered, buried from the storms of winter past. And I have got to stand and tremble a bit to free myself from that which holds me down. You know, that's all we can do is just shake it off and keep moving on. I think that's what life is, you know, going through all these changes and coming out the end better for it. Just a beautiful poem. And what did you think, Kel?
Oh, I thought it was a beautiful poem of acceptance. Accepting who you were, accepting who you are, and who you're going to be. I am a lone Arctic wolf, snow-covered. I like that. You know, it's got a beautiful imagery. And it's an absolutely awesome message. I loved it.
Great comment. Thank you. And Frank, what did you think?
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get to the poem. My phone is acting up, but it didn't allow me to read the poem. But I'll just say, just listening to the poem, I thought it was, as always, a fantastic right by Daniel. He always has. I do enjoy his, appreciate his insight always. He always brings us fabulous insight to his poems. And I'll give him a comment afterwards once my phone starts to act up. And with that, I'm going to have to go until I get this phone fixed there. I would rather not be inconvenient on this. Take care, everyone. Take care.
Okay, thanks.
Great.
Good night.
Thank you for allowing me to be on the show, Gray, and thank you for putting my poem on there. Thank you. Take care, my friends.
Always a pleasure to have you, Frank. Have a good night.
It's a pleasure, my friend.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye. And Pam, what did you think of the race? Oh, sorry, Salwa.
Oh, I thought...
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, Salwa, please.
Okay. I really like his writing. The first... Stanza already summarized it all, but I love how he keeps adding and give more to it. I am a past. I have to live with that every day, but I am be my future, I will have to live with that every day. We all have past. We cannot deny our past. It will always be with us, but we can't let it hinder us and stop us from thinking of the future. And that's what I see in here. Otherwise, you only live in your past. That's really amazing and so true. And so true. I really like it very much. Very profound.
Well said. Thank you, Sawa. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this was brilliant all the way through, and I really like the message that he acknowledges his past as part of him, but that he's moving forward and not just dwelling on the past. And I really like the imagery of being a lone Arctic wolf, snow-covered, and realizing that you have to stand up, you know, and shake yourself off in order to free yourself. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem. Oh, I did grab the next poem. Sawa, your poem's next. And I have SoundCloud for
okay. Okay, thank you.
Here we go.
I love poems. Eau de suite, avec une douce larme. Eau de suite, in the garden of oblivion. Sans fear of tomorrow. All day after tomorrow, the candor of her heart, restless, whispered a song to petal of roses, and the footsteps of her shadow innocently danced with the air of the sky. Avec une douce larme dans le jardin de l'oubli, sans craindre le lendemain ou le surlendemain, la candeur de son cœur agitait murmure aux roses une chanson où les pas de son ombre dansent innocemment avec l'air du ciel en se tournoyant. End of poem.
Such a beautiful read, and you know, and a pretty write as well. You know, with a sweet tear in the garden of oblivion, sans fear of tomorrow or day after tomorrow. I mean, I could read the whole thing just a breath. That it flows, it has rhythm, and it's beautifully done. Whispering
thank
a song, the petal of roses and footsteps of her shadow, innocently danced with the air of the sky. Just such beautiful imagery and powerful emotions. Pam, what did
thank
you think?
Thank you so much. Great.
Eva.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Gray. It is when a brevity is this beautiful, it's difficult to separate any of the lines. It's lovely all the way through, but my particularly favorite line is the candor of her heart, restless. I like the idea of someone who's a restless spirit, and the candor of her heart makes me think of somebody who wears their heart on their sleeve and doesn't hold back. You know, just excellent write all the way through, Sawa, and very well done.
Thank you so much. Glad I'm here. So,
thank you, Sawa. Thank you, Pam. And
you.
Kel, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was gorgeous. And I like the same lines. But, I mean, I like the whole thing. I'm not saying that because it's absolutely beautiful start to finish. The candor of her heart, restless, whispered a song of petal of roses, and the footsteps of her shadow innocently danced with the air, the sky. Beautiful, beautiful message of, you know, looking toward tomorrow but not knowing what's going to happen. And, you know, just beautiful, Solway, absolutely beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much, Cal.
Thank you, Cal. We appreciate that. It was a wonderful comment. Okay, so we're going to grab the next poem here. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Cal, would you see it?
Definitely.
There we go.
All right. He never hears her say, but... by Jim Johnson. The shrink with the half smile, hand on his Bible, spitting out labels,
like chewing tobacco. They're on the words like denial and delusion, defining her in some chart, even putting on her makeup. An army of carpenter ants in her head. Blue is a symptom to be medicated. Mother Nature is pressed between glass. Doesn't he know she was born to a poet, her finger on the moon, tree roots growing from her feet, talking to the stars, feeling lilacs bloom in the palm of her hand, mother tucking rainbows into her pocket, her truth whispering in the wind, that no man, no matter how long his reach, can bury a casket. End poem.
Wow, that was haunting. Beautiful read, Kel. But, you know, this is such a powerful poem with its imagery and its emotions that tied together like this, sewn into a beautiful duvet of blanketing emotions. You know, it's her truth whispering in the wind that no man, no matter how long his reach, can bury in a casket. Like, how deep and haunting is that? And then there's such other fabulous imagery of, you know, doesn't he know she was born to a poet, her finger on the moon, tree roots growing from her feet, talking to the stars, feeling lilac bloom in the palm of her hand. Just amazingly powerful imagery. What did you think, Cam?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I really always appreciate and enjoy June's writing. She has such a way with words and phrasing and powerful imagery and metaphors. And I really like how this comes across as a write that about not being understood. And some of my particular favorites was an army of carpenter ants in her head and mother tucking rainbows into her pocket. Just a powerful write all the way through and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Salwa, what did you think?
Oh, this is really powerful. I just discovered her poetry recently. I really like it very much. I love what you said, Pam and Carl. The shrink with the half-smile hand is Bible. Her description, you literally visually can see what's happening. But more than that, yes, sometimes, unfortunately, you are misunderstood, and especially if you have someone have mental illness that could be not understood, and it really must be so hard. I love when she says, doesn't he know she was born to a poet, her finger on the moon, tree root growing from her feet, taking to the star. There's so much emotion there, and I don't know if that's personal or not, but it's just so moving. You can feel the deception almost, the not being understood. Really beautifully done.
Thank you, Salwa. Beautiful comment. And Kel, what did you
think? I mean, I thought, you know, like Pam and Salwa, I thought it was a very beautiful, powerful rite. The shrink with the half smile, hand on his Bible, spitting out labels like chewing tobacco. Very powerful. You know, it's how, you know, someone who thinks he understands doesn't have a clue, because blue is a symptom to be medicated? No, not necessarily. But it also, with the references to her mother, I feel a reverence, you know, towards her mother, and possibly a deep, deep, deep despair over a possible loss, you know, truth whispering in the wind that no man, no matter how long his reach, can bury in a casket. You know, so it's just very beautifully written and eloquent and just sad, so sad.
Well said. Thank you, Kel. Okay, I have the next write-up, Salwa, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, I'll be honored. Sorry, just I was commenting on her poem. Let me give you a second to refresh.
Yeah.
Okay, where am I at? Oh, here we go. Is it The Sifting of Emotion by Steve Brown? Yes? Okay.
Yeah.
I hope it's not complicated words. Okay, I remember this bad experience I had before. Okay, stiffening of emotion, revised by Kay Crown. The stiffening of the self, the negative emotion, to steer clear of and stay far away from all the gray disarray that festers inside us and the load we now carry is heavy beyond bursting point. We have no desire at all to engage in our conversation with ourselves. Instead, we display at all cost a cool, calm, collected exterior whistle. Inside, the war of emotion is raging. We turn a blind eye to the darkness as we woodenly conceal the murkiness that swirls inside us. In the process, we reject the light within us until there is no space for intensities to show its face. We chart a different path when we can accept ourselves. Together with all the unfathomable emotions, embrace the frailty, the fragility, and the vulnerability that comes with being human in the form.
Beautiful read, Sawa. And, you know, this is an excellent poem. I really love it. You know, it's the stifling of emotions causes us not to be real and, you know, present a fake self to the world, confident and outgoing. And yet, you know, inside we have battles raging. And, you know, if we could just learn to embrace the frailty, the fragility, the vulnerability that comes with being human, we'd all be better off. I agree. I think there's some words to live by in this poem. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I really like that this is a darker rite that points out the dangers of emotionally and mentally of turning a blind eye, of, you know, stifling ourselves. I really like a cool, calm, collected exterior whilst inside the war of emotion is raging, and we chart a different path when we can accept ourselves together with all the unfathomable emotions. I like the idea of accepting not only the nice, friendly part of yourself, but that part that gets angry, that gets sad, that you try to keep back, but we really shouldn't because it is a part of us, you know, and just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Kel, what did you think?
Oh, well, I thought it was deeply dark and emotional writing that also has a strength behind it to realize that we are only human and that, you know, we have to accept that no matter what, you know, we may have these deep, dark feelings inside that we don't show ourselves, let alone anybody else, but we have to face them eventually, you know, and I think that's a powerful message.
Well said. Thank you, Kel. And Sawa, what do you think?
Oh, I love it. It's so raw and honest, and I agree with all what you said before me. I mean, inside the war of emotion is raging. We have so much emotion, sometimes we don't know what to do with it, and we can go either accept it and be honest with ourselves and swirl it inside, or we can, like, keep an eye, blind eye on it. And I love how she talks about the vulnerability as well at the end. We should embrace fragility and vulnerability that comes with being human. That's what we really are. So this is very, very deep. I really love how she, where did she take this poem?
Great comment. Thank you, Sawa. I appreciate it. Okay, I have the next write-up. It's called Survival Imperative by Ravi's Poetry. I feel the need of late, not only to survive, but to thrive. Feeling that urge in my genetic template as forces aggregate to form that urge underneath my skin. For merely to survive is not enough. Rather, striving and growing is what I seek. I wish to be far more than going as a ghost from day to day to feel submissive and meek. Going from one task to another, feeling as a wisp on the wind of late, I'm fade toward. That seems to be no longer seek. I'd rather feel something, even if painful, than nothing at all, if it means I am going forward step by step. I remember that mantra I once heard, merely surviving is not enough, and take that to heart. I refuse to become a ghost so that I may be sad to do my part. I will move forward to rise like a star, no matter how I feel inside, no matter what external circumstances are, .. End poem. And he says in his author notes, I was thinking of how hard it is to move forward these days and how that's become important to me of late. I've gotten to a point of being tired of just floating day to day, trying to survive all this craziness. There's a quote from Star Trek, The Next Generation, that goes, merely surviving is not enough. And that's definitely what I am feeling these days. End quote. I thought it was wonderful, powerful poem on, you know, standing up and fighting for more. You know, it's not, to survive is not where you want to be. You want to be striving, you know, and that's kind of what I always thought too, you know, and people say I'm a survivor, you know, I'd rather be a striver and moving forward. Just a beautiful, hard-hitting write. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is a wonderful write. I like that it's about moving forward, about living life to the fullest, that, you know, not spending every day hiding, being submissive and meek, but, you know, rather, you know, just you know, enjoying life and doing more than just getting through the day, but finding something to make every day feel complete. Excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Kel, what did you think?
Oh, wow. I really, really like this. It's a very empowering writing, especially a self-empowering, you know, where he's found the courage and the strength to move on, be more than he was, you know, to want to be more than he is. You know, it's just absolutely amazing the way he wrote this. To feel submissive and neat, going from one task to another, feeling as a wisp on the wind of a fate that seems to no longer seek. You know, I'd rather feel something, even if painful, than nothing at all. You know, this is really a beautiful poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Sawa. I mean, thank you, Kel. Sawa, what did you think?
Oh, I really love this poem, too. Today is great poetry, amazing. One more powerful than the other. This one speaks to me because, really, if you don't feel the pain and you don't try, then there's no life. You just, like, live dead and alive, really. And I love the last sentence. I refuse to become a ghost. To that, I may be sad to do my part. I will move forward to rise like a star, no matter how I feel inside, no matter what external circumstances are. Very empowering, and that's really my motto of life, so it definitely speaks to me.
Yeah, great comment. Thank you, Tawa. Okay, I'm going to go to the next poem here. And Sam, when you see this, would you mind, please?
Absolutely. All
right. Okay, here we go.
I don't see, let me refresh. Oh, there it is. All right. This is The Metamorphosis of a Funeral Moth, and it goes like this. Oh, and by Colep. I thought we had buried our love under the muck of decades of resentment. I thought we had kicked and squished it under Doc Martin's boots, renegade kids now turning gray in our parade towards a Burgoy domesticity. We rocked babies in our own boat with your pyromaniac tendencies. You keep on striking a match about to throw it into the home that you so handsomely built. And despite my shrewish appearance, I put on my firewoman suit to the rescue. But this time I arrive a tad too late, just as if it is being burnt on a pyre. Lo and behold, from the chimney flew a big black moth flapping its wings on fire, the iridescent flames dripping, and it is flying upwards. Turquoise sky melted on. Its upper wings, the moth of our dirge, elegiac, at first spanned its wings, morphed into an iridescent butterfly setting forth towards a renaissance sunset, where miracles happen and dead loves get reincarnated. End poem.
Wow. Sorry, I'm just going to read her author's notes. That was a great read, Pam. When I was little, I was told that at every cremation, the soul of the beloved flies away as a black moth. I clearly remember having seen one at my grandmother's funeral in Cambodia. Wow, that just lent so much credence to this, right? You know, it's so hard-hitting, you know, right from the get-go. I thought we had buried our love under the muck of decades of resentment. I thought we had kicked and squashed it under Doc Martin boots. Renegade kids now turning gray in our four-way towards a bourgeois domesticity. We walked babies in our own boat with your pyromaniac tendencies. Just haunting right from the start, and it finishes off so beautifully as an incandescent butterfly setting forth towards a renaissance sunset. Just immaculate imagery. What did you think, Pam?
I really liked this, and I thought her AN added to the depth of the poem, and it already was an extremely deep and powerful poem. And I like how there's that sense of hope in the end, that perhaps that dead love will get reincarnated. And I like the imagery of, and despite my Jewish appearance, I put on my firewoman suit to the rescue, that whole idea that, you know, just keep trying to save the relationship over and over again. An excellent write all the way through, and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you. Thank you, Pam. And Cal, what did you think?
I thought it was absolutely beautiful. And that tradition, oh my goodness, can you just imagine? You know, thinking of your ancestors flying away as moths, but in this it turns into a butterfly. It's absolutely beautiful imagery. It's a very sad, sad, sad poem, but it also has this miracle of beauty, and this is amazing.
Great comment. Thank you, Kel. And Sawa, what did you think?
I really like how she takes us back to her childhood, even though it's sad. And from there, she connects this metamorphosis and also incarnation to her love. That's like how her senses turn to butterfly. Her love also at the end, as Pam said, there is hope, will be reincarnated something. There is hope. That's really, the connection between the two is really brilliant. I don't know how she did it. Incredibly brilliant.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Insight, Stella. Excellent insight. And I'm going to grab one more poem here because we have enough time.
Okay. Right.
And Cal, can you read that for me, please?
Yeah, sure. Heart's End by L.G. Mace. Where once I loved with hopeful dreams and tender passion, and the truest of loves my heart did befriend, now I view the beauty of such things, a deadly black, and all the beauty for love my trusting heart does resend. Where once I could see the beauty of the pastel colors of a rainbow, now they are merely passing strata, quickly fading colors, leading to hope's ever-gleaming end. I grimace at the love shared by lovers on a summer's eve stroll, their hopes and dreams do blend. but will only come to a meaningless end. Coming up on heartbreak's wall, they cannot see their bleak future, for they are at their beginnings before their fateful fall. I shed tears of hopeless sadness, for once I could believe in love's everlasting infinity, when love did commend on Venus, goddess of love. Feel sympathy for me. Grant me love and all its dreams once again. Do not damn me to heart's end. And Dan Foam.
And would you mind reading her author's notes, please, Kel?
A rather morbid look at the futility of love.
Great comment. I mean, excellent read. Thank you. And, you know, this is beautiful in its, you know, in its darkness. Where once I loved with hopeful dreams and tender passion, the truest of my loves, my heart did befriend. Now I view the beauty of such things a deadly black to know the beauty of the love. My trusting heart does contend. You know, just sad, sad thing. But the grimace at the love shared by lovers on summer's eve stroll, their hopes and dreams to blend, but will only come to a meaningless end. Coming up on heartbreak's wall, they cannot see their bleak future, for they are at their beginnings before their fateful fall. Just a haunting poem. What did you think, Tim?
This is a beautiful, melancholy write, wonderful use of imagery. And what I really like is that it reminds us that it's the trusting heart that gets hurt the most. And I really like it all the way through, but I especially like also that she brings in the end the mythology of Venus, the goddess of love, in an almost a prayer-like fashion. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Kel, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was a deeply sad poem. You know, losing love. Where once I loved with hopeful dreams and tender passion, and the truest of loves my heart did befriend, and now it's just, it's all falling down around her. It's just a very sad, poignant poem, very dark and morbid. But I also appreciate in lines, you know, grant me love and all its dreams once again. You know, beautiful, beautifully written, but very sad.
Well said. Thank you, Kel. And Sawa, what did you think?
Well, Lindsay's an amazing poet. I really like her poetry. She always writes with her, like from her heart, and this is another one. When you love so much and you give so much and then you get disappointed, it is painful, and all of us want to be loved. And I love how she ended, O Venus, goddess of love, seek sympathy for me, grant me love or all this dream once again, do not damn me. There is this wish there that never ends, even though you get disappointed, you always are human, and we still want to be loved. It's really moving, very touching.
Absolutely. That was excellent comment, Sawa. All right, ladies, thank you for calling in and sharing your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. I appreciate and love you all. And wish you a great night.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Sawa. Good night, Kel. Good night, Pam.
Good night, Sam. Good night, everyone.